Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To page 95. Went on a walkabout.
Yeah. Missing an action.
Okay. In his purport to verse 17, Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from Brahmananda Purana. Gyanan, Gyananan dat bano Vishnu, Shushumara vapusyata, Urdva lokeshu sa vyapta, Adityadyas tad ashrita. Lord Vishnu, who is the source of knowledge and transcendental bliss, has assumed the form of Shushumara in the seventh heaven, which is situated in the topmost level of the universe. All the other planets, beginning with the sun, exist under the shelter of the Shushumara planetary system, which is the topic of the next chapter. So then there's some validity to someone so happy they're in seventh heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Has some Vedic origin.
Yeah. It's
born from. So in other words, there's some aspect. Everything is Krishna, but there's things that where his potency is more prominent, right? Because he's the superior qualities. So something that manifests a great amount of superior qualities, that will be generally attributed to him. But otherwise, he's everything. Right? You know, it's like on this blanket, there's a little thread that's sticking out. But that strength of the thread, or its warmness, or this and that, that's still Krishna. But generally, you know,
doesn't pack a punch.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Krishna says, I am the ocean, of bodies of water, I am the ocean, or like this. But he's everything, but he starts from the biggest. So Shushumara of the planetary systems then is the topmost within this side. Right? Dhruva Loka is a transcendental planet.
No, Shushumara is all the planetary systems.
No, Shushumara is Dhruva Loka, then connected down as the Ganga moves through. It's all the billions of airplanes that carry the Ganges from when it falls into the universe, and then when it goes on down to the heavenly planets.
It's above Earth.
It's above sun, planet, all the other ones like that. You have Dhruva Loka, then Shushumara, then the other planets.
When we speak about the universe and cosmos, so universe is the sun is the main planet in the sun in the universe, and cosmos means more bigger than universe.
Means the universe will mean what is this one. Manifestation of this one egg with one Brahma inside. That's
yes,
the universe.
Yes,
the cosmos means the spiritual world and the material world. It means the total creation.
Yes. Okay.
Right, that or the manifestation of Krishna's energy. So that would include yes. Goloka, Vaikuntha, and Mahatattva.
Yes.
That would mean cosmos.
Yes. Okay.
So when you say that you know, the gopis are the most beautiful girls in the cosmos, that
yes.
means everywhere. It
yes.
doesn't mean the magazine.
Yes.
Though they would be the most beautiful there also, but still.
Cosmic manifestation is synonymous with cosmos?
Generally, you also have to see how it's used, because these words can mean, it just means the manifestation of Lord's energy. So generally, it means the total manifestation. But it can also sometimes just mean the cosmos here, but you're inferring how it works according to Krishna's laws. We say the universe, we're talking about the physical structure. Generally, we say the cosmos, we're talking about how it acts according to Krishna's laws.
Yes.
Yeah, so those are each divided up.
And the lower planetary system that we are going to study on, they also call the heaven lower planet. And where's the heaviest planet?
They're below that. They're just kind of on their own.
But we cannot say that Yakshas, Rakshasas, they live on the hellish planet.
They live in the Antariksha, so they're in the part that's above here, like that. So they're more powerful than humans, but they're not on the platform of the demigods. Well, the Asuras live in the lower heavenly planets.
But not in hellish planets.
No, hellish planets are where one goes, where one, how you say, the place where one is hosted by the Yamadutas.
So nobody really lives there. It's only
no, country. It's just a what do you call it? What would you say? It's kind of like a retreat, you know, where you go for specific kinds of training and treatment. Yes, various kinds of treatment. Yeah. So that's below, like that. Like that. Those, I think, are so the I'm not sure if it's Patal or those. They're so low in the universe that you can actually see Ananta Sesha's color, like that. You know, you can't see him, but you can see. Just like here, we see this blue sky is blue. There you see, you know, Ananta's color, like that. So they're quite far down. Okay, so now.
Another question. As we said about Antariksha, that it's above and it's also below.
Yes, so the Yakshas, Rakshasas, they'll be in the part that's above the earth, while the demons will be in the part below the earth. This always seems to be, Antariksha is always split in two. It's like the sun's in the middle of the Antariksha, between heaven and earth. And so also the Antariksha has the part above and the part below. And then you also have the part that's outside. So it's basically Antariksha just means all the space.
And such rain in heavenly planets, that's the Asuras.
Yes. Okay. You know, that's to Bali Maharaj and them. They all are down there. Sukracharya went down there. So he's the guru for down there, and Brihaspati for up.
Quite organized.
They've worked it out. Each gets their half of the universe, right? Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary Systems. Like bulls yoked to a central pivot, all the planetary systems revolve around Dhruvaloka, impelled by eternal time. Those who worship the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, conceive of this entire rotating system of planets as an animal known as Shishumara. The Pratigya of this chapter is taken from Srila Prabhupada's chapter summary and describes how it is due to the Supreme Lord's will and potency that all of the stars, planets, and demigods associated with them are situated in their orbits and circumambulate Dhruvaloka with great respect. Right, so the whole point is that of all this is to show how it's all by Krishna's will and it's under his control. Mm-hmm. Right? So it means you're studying the geographics, but in connection with the greatness of the Lord and his desire. Yeah. Right? So you can see is by this time now, the descriptions aren't just geographical like they were, let's say, in the second canto.
Yeah.
You know, and then third canto also. But from fourth canto, we see then it's always connected with the Lord himself as a person, his desire. Right?
Yes.
like that, yes. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how all the planetary systems take shelter of the pole star, Dhruva Loka. It also describes the totality of these planetary systems to be Shishumara, another expansion of the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Loka, the abode of Lord Vishnu within the universe. Is situated 1,300,000 yojanas from the seven stars. In the planetary system of Dhruva Loka are the planets of the fire god, Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma, all of whom are very respectful to the great devotee Dhruva, who lives on the pole star. Like bulls yoked to a central pivot, all the planetary systems revolve around Dhruva Loka, impelled by eternal time. Those who worship the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, conceive of this entire rotating system of planets as an animal known as Shishumara. This imaginary Shishumara is another form of the Lord. The head of the Shishumara form is downwards, and the body appears to be like that of a coiled snake. On the end of its tail is Dhruva Loka. On the body of the tail are Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And on the root of the tail are Datta and Vidatta. On its waist are the seven great sages. The entire body of the Shishumara faces towards its right and appears like a coil of stars. On the right side of this coil are the 14 prominent stars from Abhijit to Punarvasu, and on the left are the 14 prominent stars from Pushya to Uttarashada. The stars known as Punarvasu and Pushya are on the right and left hips of the Shishumara. And the stars known as Ardha and Ashlesha are on the right and left feet of the Shishumara. Other stars are also fixed on different sides of the Shishumara planetary system, according to the calculations of the Vedic astronomers. To concentrate their minds, yogis worship the Shishumara planetary system, which is technically known as the Kundalini Chakra. Right. So here it appears that we're also getting something a bit bigger. Right? Means you have it that it can be the Milky Way as you're seeing the whole thing like that. Milky Way specifically where they're carrying Ganga. And sometimes also referred to as Shishumara. But in this description, then it means the whole system of the planetary systems being connected together. So whatever's above Earth, the connection of all those to Dhruva Loka and their turning around Dhruva Loka, you know, like a bull is roped, you know, or connected to the, you know, the wheel, like that when it goes around. Then it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's above the Earth. Earth's not connected.
No, Earth's not connected. Earth is connected to Ananta Sesh. Means you have Meru Mountain and all the talas there, and so that's sitting on the top of Ananta Sesh's head.
Yes.
Right, and then the Shishumara is then from the pole star. It's all connected by ropes of wind around, but it twists. Right. So you have the aspect of the two dolphins, but you also have this point like a coil,
yes,
like a snake.
Yes,
so
yes.
Those who are worshipping the universal form, they'll see the total, all those planetary systems in that form.
Everything above Kumandala is connected with the pole.
Yes. Except what's above that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Satya, Jana Mahatapa and Satya, they're above that. Because they're not considered within, it means... They'll be part of Swar, meaning that they're the heavenly planets, like that. But they're not heavenly planets where someone goes because of doing austerities and yajnas for sense gratification. These are people who do out of duty and detachment. You know, so your yogis, your brahmacharis, you know, the prajapatis, like this, they're the ones that are up there. You know, the great sages, the like this. Yes. No. The Bhumandala doesn't move.
Yeah,
it may move, but it's not moving connected to the pole star. That's why the sun comes up and goes down. Because that's rotating with the pole star. So the sun and all the planets, they move around. The Earth, they do a full movement of the chakra in 24 hours.
Yes.
But because they all have different speeds, in that 24 hours, there'll be some amount of degrees less. So that way, then, they also have their own path that's moving in the opposite direction. Does that make sense? Just like the sun, moon, it comes up, and each day it's farther and farther back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the opposite movement. That's their own movement.
Yeah.
And them going, coming up in the east and going down the west, that is the Kala Chakra.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time. That's the time itself. The wheel of time. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that's all what the Shishumara and everybody. Everybody's connected to Dhruva from that by ropes of wind.
Okay. So now there is no connection between Meru and Falstaff?
No.
No. Two different.
Yes, yes. Because it goes up and it stops. And then on top
yes.
of that is Brahmapuri and the Dikpala's there cities,
yes, yes.
like that. And then above that is the. You'd have your sages and Dhruva Loka. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, that's why it says worshippers of the universal form. Yes, it means one who worships the universal form. They can see like that. Because they're seeing as a form of the Lord, and so then they're seeing all these things and all connected to that. Right? So they're seeing through the eyes of Shastra.
Yes.
Right? And then there may be realization. You have to understand that's a more important vision. What we see with the senses, then the problem is because the senses are imperfect. Right, we're an illusion. We tend to cheat.
Yes.
And what's the last one? We think we'd know this because it's so us.
Make mistakes.
Make mistakes. Yeah. So we see each one of those that if you use the pratyaksha, the senses, there's going to be some problem, guaranteed. Right? You know, even you know, money back guaranteed. I mean, it's so established. Right? Yeah. Really, really. Right. So that kind of thing is there. Right. But this is how the sages then see the universe, right? Through Shastra,
yes.
right? They see with their ears, right? And so that then they can fix within the mind. Right? Does that make sense? So when that's connected to Krishna, then we say that's meditation on the Lord, that's Krishna consciousness. When it's not, we call it mental speculation. Because speculating means you take what you've heard, you analyze, and then you see something. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter, is that process engaged in the Lord's service, or it's not? That's the point. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 9, the Shishumara planetary systems. Sugade Goswami continued, my dear King, 1,300,000 yojanas, or 10,400,000 miles above the planets of the seven sages, is the place that the learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There, the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, the great devotee of Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all the living entities who lived until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respectful obeisances. They circumambulate him with their right sides towards him. I have already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as the central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation.
Why would this be time?
Time. That's how there's movement.
But it
means you're moving your finger now. That's time.
Everybody's moving because of time. So
yes.
What's the speciality here?
Why is this special? Okay. Why is this movement special of all various movements?
All the planets can move because of time.
Yes, but they're on the Kala Chakra itself, so they move in a very specific way. That's why it gives the example of the bull.
So those are
right? Because that means they're fixed there. Right? You're moving your finger here and there, but they're fixed. They always move in that way. So that itself is the Kala Chakra.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You think that the movement is the Kala Chakra?
No, they're moving according to Kala Chakra. Yeah. It's not that they make up Kala Chakra. No, Kala Chakra is independent. They're fixed to it, so therefore, right?
Yes.
Mm. So, does that work?
So it's still the Kala Chakra here?
Yes, yes. No, this whole Shishumara will be talking about that. Because they'll all move according to that.
Kala Chakra represents Krishna. Kala Chakra, you can say, is Krishna.
Yes, yes. No, that's the whole point, is that the time is Krishna, and the whole manifestation of the Shishumara is Krishna.
Yes.
Right? The whole universe is Krishna.
Yes.
But
the
point is we're taking this aspect and showing how it's Krishna. You know, it's complete in itself.
Yes.
Okay. In his commentary to verse 2, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Stanu means a pillar. It here indicates that stationary, also stationary, since it remains without being moved by the wheel of time, the rotation of the zodiac. Rather, it is the pivot for the rotating zodiac. All others are dependent upon the rotation of the zodiac. But Dhruva Loka controls the zodiac rotation. How did it get this ability? It has been allotted this power by the Lord, who can cause to do, not to do, or do differently in order to show the excellence of his devotee.
Yes.
Right,
so this rotation that we're talking about now is between Bhuma Loka and Bhumandala. This is what rotates.
Yes, it means what's above Bhumandala. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So all those that are planets, they're rotating on this system.
But Dhruva is fixed.
Yes, fixed.
Okay. And the Bhumandala is fixed.
Yes, I think there is some rotation of the Bhumandala and all that, but how that works, it hasn't come up yet. We can see if our astronomer shows up. We can ask, but because there is some thing of like Brahma looked in the hub of the universe, so there's some turn off of that, and that's in Naimisharanya.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, so it's actually in the actual, you know, exact midline. So then that there's a rotation there. So it would appear that of the nine divisions on Bharat Varsha, we're in the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, four on one side, four the other, because otherwise how are we in that middle line? And so it's pivoting off of that. So there must be some also thing is that that's moving and then this pivoting off of this. So that's how you get all these very complicated movements. Because if it was just so simple, then everyone would already figure it out and get bored. So you make it complicated enough that they kind of figure it out or don't figure it out in this lifetime, so then next lifetime they're ready to start again.
Fresh.
Yes, fresh. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It also seems that they are not dependent on our sun, that the light is in Dhruva Loka.
Yeah, Dhruva Loka, they're completely, it's a Vaikuntha planet.
So
it's actually a Vaikuntha planet. It's
they
not
don't
a
light from our sun.
No, they don't. Right, but they don't need it. So it its own shining is its own light. It's not having to get from anywhere else. So all this is done to show the excellence of Dhruva Maharaj, because he wanted, as a devotee, he wanted something greater than his grandfather, who's Brahma, who's the Lord of the whole universe. So he wanted something of that. So the only thing higher than that is Vaikuntha. Yeah, so that's why. That's why then all these great personalities, Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma, all circumambulate him, showing their respect. You know.
Mr. Maharaj, what's happened for the postcard before Dhruva Maharaj?
Must have been there, but then he got to be the king of it.
Because
generally in Vaikuntha, then Vishnu's the king.
Yes. Yes.
But here, then, it's a special arrangement that he is the king.
Yes.
You know? And then Vishnu is the Lord.
Yes.
Like that.
Usually the Vaikuntha planets are eternal.
Yes, so it's also eternal. It's not destroyed at the creation.
So it must, this planet must exist before the coming of Guru Maharaj.
It would be there before. He didn't create the planet for him. He just allowed him to be the lord of it. You know, the king.
Because it seems in the first temple it says something like that.
Which?
That he created.
Even if he did, it's just a manifestation, because Vaikuntha is eternal. So just like in the Vaikuntha planets, they're always there, but then there's when they manifest. So if he manifests it, then... See, the difficulty is which way you're trying to look at it. If you're trying to look at it from when it began, that, you know what I'm saying? Then it's time and space, so it's material we can't understand Vaikuntha. So the point is whether it... So that means Vaikuntha is eternal, it's always there. Now, whether it's manifest or not, that's another thing. So if it's already manifest, then fine. If it's not, then it's manifest for Dhruva. But in either case, it stays in the same position. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, then, you know, it's like arguing beginning of the soul, right? They're eternal. So they're always there. It's just a matter of when they manifest. So there's just a difference in how they function.
No, I said that it's even more spectacular that it wasn't there and then it just manifested.
Oh, yeah, then that's good. But the point is it's still not time and space. It's still Vaikuntha. Whichever way it is, it doesn't matter, because you're looking at either one side or the other, the glory of Dhruva Maharaj or the natural eternal position of the spiritual world. So, yes. Yes, that's the North Star, the Pole Star. You can see that. Here for us it's quite low. Like it's like that level. I'm not sure what it is, 30 degrees or something. But it's quite low. As you go up north, and it starts going more straight up. Yes, it is. It is. You can see it.
Like Prabhu was mentioning, we can actually see Vaikuntha.
Yes, we can see Vaikuntha. But we can also go to the temple and see. You're here in Vaikuntha here also.
We are in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Externally, it appears that Dhruva Maharaj got this position because of his mixed devotional service.
Yes.
And he's got Vaikuntha, so skeptics, you know, they might doubt this point.
I've just seen the skeptics there with their payas and in their beards and their falafels, and then discussing about this, all the stuff stripping down the beards. No, the point is he came to the position of pure devotional service. He started from mixed, but he came to pure. But it still doesn't mean that Krishna doesn't fulfill the desires. Because something, fulfilling desires that are on an amazing level, means that it's connected with devotion. Right? So only when you're on that platform of pure devotion, then amazing material facilities or whatever facilities are there are given. Right? And that lasts, that doesn't go away. So then the position comes up is that when we want to enjoy it, that's when you can't have it. When you're willing to use it in Krishna's service, that's when you can have it. So as long as you're enamored by it, that means you're not seeing the Lord. Enamoration means the thing itself is the attractiveness, rather than Krishna's the attractiveness. So the thing itself, Krishna's, is there, he's the attraction in it. But the difference is, do you see the thing or do you see Krishna?
Yeah.
So when you see Krishna, then there can be unlimited facilities. But when you see the thing, then it will be according to what will be good for your devotional development. So maybe more, maybe less.
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty that comes in, is because we're looking at how can he get all that and we don't have. You know? We're mixed. How come I don't have that?
I'm more mixed than he is.
Yeah. I should get bigger. Yeah. Maybe another universe is Dhruvaloka is bigger. Right? You know, bigger Probably. Universe, bigger yeah. Dhruvaloka.
Even more Vaikuntha.
My Vaikuntha is more Vaikuntha yeah, exactly. than your Vaikuntha. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why do they have to stay in the material world? Why not? But so, do they have any problem? Who has the problem with staying here? Us. Because it's a problem. But if you're transcendental, then it doesn't matter where you are. Does that make sense? No, but they're saying they don't have to stay here, but they stay here for the Lord's pastimes. See, we have to, that's the whole point, is we have to give up the attachment to karma and jnana. Because generally we take it that, okay, means on some levels you take it, karma is good. Okay, you do your work, you get, you're successful in that, devotees pay money to go to seminars that'll tell them that. The same time is then there's the aspect where we see is that giving up the material endeavor and trying to get out of the material world is higher, which on one position it is, because you're dealing with transcendence rather than material endeavor. But still, the highest is bhakti, actually doing things in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? No, well, any devotee doesn't have karma anymore. You don't have karma anymore. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it's not about giving up the suffering in this world, it's about doing something for Krishna. Let's say for example, you go to dinner with some friends, right? Good friends, okay? And at the dinner, you don't worry at all about the interaction with the devotees. You're just focusing on the hunger is going away. Right? You know, so that, you know, so, you know, how's it going? Yeah, this is so great. You know, my hunger is gone, almost gone now. Just a few more bites, I should be done, you know, like that. And what are your friends going to think? That's liberation. It's still self-centered. It's just that you have a problem, you want the problem to go away. Devotion means it's about Krishna and pleasing Him. So automatically, the liberation is there and material facilities is there. Right? If you're at dinner with friends, interacting with the friends, hunger goes away and there's something to eat. Right? It's a nice environment. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, it is distinctly stated herein that all the luminaries, the planets and stars, revolve by the influence of the supreme time factor. The time factor is another feature of the supreme personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the influence of the time factor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotee Maharaj Dhruva so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under His control. So that would be the slight difference. Yes.
So the time will be the, you know, like a Brahman feature of the Lord.
Yes, yes. It'll be a feature of Brahman because it's impersonal.
Yeah.
But it may be very specific. So here, this is the personal aspect, is that the Lord's will, the time is under Dhruva Maharaja's control, or in cooperation with. It means, of course, it's ultimately the Lord's control, but it's in cooperation with. So it's not a, it's not opposed to such, like Indra, where he has a certain facility that he does, and it's in cooperation with the Lord, but still, he's got, this is Dhruva Maharaj, it's, he, because of his devotion, then the Lord has put that aspect of himself under his direction. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's a higher position than all the other demigods and all that. Right? And they control, they may control a certain aspect, you know, like Indra controls the rain or the clouds and like this. He controls time, which is the factor by which everybody else only can do their work. Mm-hmm. Right? Means you can't be the demigod of blinking eyelids unless eyelids actually blink, and that happens by time factor. So it's actually Dhruva is superior to all of them. Mm-hmm. Right? Because even Brahma has to act according to time. Right. So that puts Dhruva in the most superior position. But it's not a position of authority as such, because it's about him being a devotee. So the emphasis is on that, not about the control and all that. So that's why the devotional side is brought out, so that we don't mistake that it's about the control.
Mm-hmm. So when we're at the benches, we can take the Dhruva Maharaj.
That the time goes very quickly. Yeah, just as they about to start, then the clock is moved ahead 2 hours, and there's five people in the room. Hey, it's my appointment, like this, and then you get to go. Yeah,
yeah,
might work. Give it a try. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami continued. When bulls are yoked together and tied to a central post to thresh rice, they tread around the pivot without deviating from their proper positions, one bull being closest to the post, another in the middle, and a third on the outside. Similarly, all the planets and all the hundreds and thousands of stars revolve around the pole star, the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, in their respective orbits, some higher, some lower, fastened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the machine of material nature, according to the results of their fruit of acts. They are driven around the pole star by the wind and will continue to be so until the end of creation. Right? So according to their fruit of acts. So it means the position of, let's say, Venus, right? Sukacharya. There's certain piety that you've done to get that position. So accordingly, then he's connected to the Dhruva star by the ropes. Right? So each one is according to their position. Right? So that doesn't change. They don't just move around. Just like when the bulls are, you have the central pivot, you have the yoke, and then the bulls are connected. The bull on the inside is on the inside. You come back after an hour, he's still on the inside. The one in the middle is still in the middle. The one on the outside is still on the outside. Like that. Does that make sense? So the planets stay in their exact position, tied by the ropes of wind, and as the time factor moves, they move with it. Yes. Little bit. The stars and planets. Yeah. Oh, stars and planets. That's what he said here. That all the luminaries, the planets and stars. Like a planet is a place where a whole bunch of people live. A star is a particular person. That's the difference. It means you can say of luminaries it's the biggest, you know, or it's the nicest, or, you know, in other words, the luminaries at night, it's definitely bigger than everybody else. As I remember once, went up for seeing if the, you know, everything was ready for the initiation and all that, and so the spiritual master was there just doing last kind of minute discussions and everything, just to make sure everything was proper. You know, a room full of prospective disciples. And You know, and then he was pointing out, you know, this was from here, and there's this, that, and I was done that. And he went through, he knew everybody and knew everything about, something special about everybody. Went through and explained about the, introduced the whole room. And after saying that, he turned to me and said, so many stars, no moon. You know, it means they were all nice devotees, but nothing outstanding. You know? Huh?
Did they hear that?
No, they
wouldn't.
Yeah, no, that was. But it was just kind of funny. Because the guru is working on the position of compassion. Is that, you know, they qualify, but nothing special, but just that compassionness. These planets float in the air within the vast sky, just as clouds with hundreds of tons of water float in the air, or as the great Siena eagles, due to the results of past activities, fly high in the sky and have no chance of falling to the ground. Mm-hmm. We may say, well, how do they float? Well, how does the cloud float? It's got tons and tons of water, but it floats. So it's just, that's the arrangement of the Lord. The Lord, He can do that. So that's why it's His potency that makes everything. Sorry?
It's the law of gravity,
the universe law. Yeah, but it's just, he makes it work, right? So you get the all that water to be vapor, but then it holds together, you know, so all that, how Krishna does that, then that's very special. Verse 3, Srila Prabhupada comments, according to the description of this verse, the hundreds and thousands of stars on the great planets, such as the Sun, the Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, are not clustered together because of the law of gravity or any similar idea of the modern scientists, because otherwise they should all like stick together. You know, it should always be a problem. You know, like that. Everyone's got to get out their crowbars and go, you know, because, you know, our planet, the next one is, you know, joined together again. Yeah. Oh, no.
Every morning.
You know. Yeah, so they stay in their places. That's the thing, is that they say law of gravity, that would, it's so great it would pull everything together. At the same time, they can't see that the atoms are held together by that law of gravity. So it works according to his direction. Right? Yeah, he says law of gravity or any similar idea of the modern scientists. Yes. So in other words, nothing that they dream up generally is correct at all. Not even just this one, right? These planets and the stars are all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda or Krishna. And according to his order, they sit in their chariots and travel in their respective orbits. Material scientists want to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they imagine different conditions under which they suppose the planets move. Right? Mm-hmm. So their whole point is that they don't want to accept the supremacy of the Lord. Means if you were going to be actually scientific, then the most natural point is there is a supreme controller. Otherwise, why is there order everywhere? Right? If there wasn't a supreme controller, then an experiment done by one person wouldn't work somewhere else, or wouldn't even work in his own laboratory after some time. Right? Because everything's changing. But the point is the scientists in one part of the world documenting his research, someone else in another part of the world can perform the same experiment and get the same results.
It's one of the paradoxes and absurdities of modern science, that they're actually claiming that it might be changing the laws always, or it might be changing, because that's the only way you can explain that there's no supreme law. At the same time, they're claiming the superiority of their process by them being able to perform these experiments and getting the same result.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's complete absurdity.
No, yeah. Because they're always saying it's by chance.
Yeah.
But if it's by chance, then why is that you can do it and get the same thing every
That's
time?
That's the thing.
So yes. So their point is, yeah, probably makes it trying to get squeak away, you know, slide out
exactly
from under that the Lord's in control. Like that. That's the, because if they'd accept that, then their scientific research is fine. Because then it's a way to be Krishna conscious.
Yes.
So then they'd be in the position of a jigyasu, right? Interested to know about things, how they work and everything functioning in the universe, but connected to the Lord. They're pious, they're devotees.
Yes.
But instead they're Mayaya Pratijnanas, right? Yes. The knowledge is stolen by illusion. The only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? They say there's different conditions, but there's only one. It's the Supreme Lord. Right? The orbits of the planets resemble the bodies in which all living entities are seated, because they are both machines controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshter junatishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantara rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as if, as on a chariot made of the material energy. The machine given by material nature, whether the machine of the body or the machine of the orbit or Kala Chakra, works according to the orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature work together to maintain this great universe. And not only this universe, but also the millions of other universes beyond this one. Right? So there are other millions of universes beyond this one, not within this one, or right next to it, beyond. So you won't be able to see them. The question of how the planets and stars are floating is also answered in this verse. It is not because of the laws of gravity. Rather, the planets and stars are enabled to float by manipulations of the air. It is due to such manipulations that big heavy clouds float and big eagles fly in the sky. Right, because, you know, what do they call it? Siena eagles. Yes. They're huge. They're not like anything we have around here. You know, they're not like, the national bird, because they're basically, in some countries, as big as the nation, physically. They're huge. They fly from one planet to another, and they lay their eggs in space, so by the time they get to the other planet, they're hatched, you know. So they're in their own category. So therefore, it's by the manipulation of these ropes of wind, because they say, as out there, it's ether, there's nothing happening, there's no... But still, the ropes of wind are still working out there. We just don't know them because we're down here.
Yes.
Right? And everything we do is all based around here. But when you go up high enough, then these things are active. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The two examples of the eagle and the cloud are sufficient to prove that flying and floating can be made possible through the adjustments of the air. The planets, in a similar way, are floating because material nature adjusts the air according to the orders of the Supreme Lord. It could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity, but in any case, one must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you want to use the gravity, but still, it's coming because of the manipulation of the wind. Like that. That's what's creating it. Otherwise, everything's attracted to each other because of Krishna. Right, and we're walking around here because we think we have to. Like Prabhupada points out, Narad Muni, he flies in space because he doesn't think he has to stand on the earth. So he stands here when he wants, and he moves through space when he wants. But we think, no, I have to be here. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Is there a picture of this huge rock? I forgot where it is, but it's sitting on a slope and. They try to move it with elephants and they can't move it, and they can only bring it down, so it must be something from God, you know, they call it Krishna's butter bowl or something. Oh, in India. Must be, you know, because you said elephants and that, so it's not New York. Yeah, somewhere in like a desert.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
So it shows that gravity actually, like it's...
Because they'd expect that it would fall. Yeah. No, that's the thing, is Krishna manipulates it. So if there is any difference, it's because Krishna's arranged it that way. That's the
thing. Now, can we say that you can say the spiritual gravity, you know, like that? It's mainly with the wind.
In this it is. Well, the planets, and they're staying afloat, just like with the the clouds and all that. Then they're staying afloat because of this. So it's a manipulation of this. So you can say that's gravity that's holding them all in place, but at the same time, it's different from the gravity that, you know, holds things down here. So you have different potencies of the Lord. That's what he's pointing out, is that they're trying to lump everything into this gravity, and so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So that they'll say, oh, this is not possible, because, but then how are the clouds possible? You know, and if the clouds are possible, then why can't the planets float? Because they always stay in the same place. If they were just floating, why is it they don't go anywhere? You know what I'm saying? Because before it was, right, I'm not sure, I think the Big Bang is kind of out these days, but the point is something went somewhere and it was flying around, and then so why is it that then they developed an orbit? They were flying around anyway. So why did they develop a specific orbit? And they stick to that orbit, so much so you can calculate for the next 100 years what the orbit's going to be. You know, so why did at one point now it gets fixed, if it's arbitrary? So that means that everything's under the Lord's control. And so he may apply different things in different places, but the principles are always the same. The so-called scientists have no control over them. The scientists can falsely, improperly declare there is no God, but this is not a fact. They can say, but it doesn't prove anything. Sukadeva Goswami continued, this great machine, consisting of the stars and planets, resembles the form of a Shishumara, dolphin, in the water. It is sometimes considered an incarnation of Krishna, Vasudeva. Great yogis meditate upon Vasudeva in this form because it is actually visible. Right, so the great yogis, you can see it if you're up there far, you can see the whole thing. If not, you can see through meditation, because it does factually exist. Right, so then therefore one can see. Okay, Sri Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments. The most important reason for their planets and stars not falling down is that they are borne by the Lord Shishumara. The learned say that all the stars and planets are positioned in and borne by the yogic form of Lord Vasudeva. So this universal aspect of the Lord, that's how they're situated. So he's holding it all together. Right. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So this is all part of the primary creation. It's just a matter of manifestation by Brahma and individuals being qualified to take up the post.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Yes.
So it means that the primary creation, Krishna gives the ideas for how to execute them also. Like ropes of wind and all that stuff.
It means he's the potency by which it's done. It's just like you drop a drawing, like a blueprint, and then the engineer will execute the blueprint. So he does according to the blueprint. He didn't make the blueprint. He uses the ingredients that are also given by the person that gives the blueprint. So all he does is then just organize that it all happens. So it's not that Brahma technically creates everyone. We call him the creator because by his endeavor things manifest, but otherwise, if we want to be more specific, we say the engineer. Because actually Krishna is the creator. So, right? Because if after the building's built, right, who will they say built the building? Right? The owner. They won't say the engineer built the building. Right? So. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, this form of the Shishumara has its head downward and its body coiled. On the end of its tail is the planet of Dhruva. On the body of its tail are the planets of the demigods, Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And at the base of its tail are the planets of the demigods, Datta and Vidatta. Right? They're night and day. Because then it's what you case are the base of the hips, because that's where you'll get one is day, one is night, because that's where it'll work from, right? where the hips might be on the Shishumara, the seven saintly sages like Vishishta and Angira. The coiled body of the Shishumara chakra turns towards its right side, on which the 14 constellations from Abhijit to Puravasu are located. On its left side are the 14 stars from Pushya to Uttarashtha. Thus, its body is balanced because its sides are occupied by an equal number of stars. On the back of the Shishumara is the group of stars known as Ajaviti, and on its abdomen is the Ganges that flows in the sky, the Milky Way.
Right, so that's why we will say, you know, connect the Shishumara with the Milky Way, but actually the Shishumara is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just like on the stomach it's lighter on a dolphin.
Yes,
the stomach is lighter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's the Milky Way. That's the stomach.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The 14 Uttarayana stars from Abhijit to Punarvasu are on the right side, and the 14 Dakshinaya stars from Pushya to Uttarashada are on the left side. Ajaviti is the first part of the southern course. Sukadeva Goswami continued, right, so that they're like this, then it's balanced. Mm-hmm. Because that extra one then is also is just on top.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
This is
the
coil.
It's a coil, okay. So occasionally they kind of see something.
Okay. There's a thing saying that blind chickens also find brain.
That's a good one. That's really good. That's really good.
Farmer country.
Farmer country, yeah. Yes, there we have it. Yes, okay, so. Our blind chickens have found some grain, right?
Grain or
brain? No,
grain.
We're not bringing up the brain part here. That's not fun. Sukadeva Goswami continued, on the right and left sides of where the loins might be on the Shishumara chakra are the stars named Punarvasu and Pushya. Arda and Aslesha are on his right and left feet. Abhijit and Uttarashada are on his right and left nostrils. Shravana and Purvashada are at its right and left eyes. And Danishta and Mula are his right and left ears.
Hmm.
So this would also explain natures of these stars.
Mm-hmm.
The eight stars from Magha to Anuradha, which mark the southern course on the ribs of on the left of its body, and the eight stars from Rigashirsha to Purvabhadra, which mark the northern course on the ribs on the right side. Satabhisha and Jeshta are on the right and left shoulders. On the upper chin of the Shishumara is Agasti. On the lower chin, Yamaraj. On its mouth, Mars. On its genitals, Saturn. On the back of its neck, Jupiter. On its chest, the sun. And within the core of its heart, Narayana. Within its mind is the moon. On its navel, Venus, and on its breast, the Ashwini Kumaras. Within its life air, which is known as Pranapana, is Mercury. On its neck is Rahu. All over its body are comets, and in its pores are the numerous stars. My dear King, the body of the Shishumara, as thus described, should be considered the external form of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So, in other words, it's Krishna's potencies, and it's all working together as one system, right, according to his laws. So, it's non-different from the Lord, so therefore, the manifestation is a material manifestation of the Lord, right? Means, in other words, the Lord, how you see him through the external energy. Because the point is it's only taking on that form and activity and results by the Lord's potency, so it's non-different from the Lord. But it is a material form. That's why it says it's imagined.
Because the Lord's form is spiritual, but we're seeing the Lord within the material creation. Right? So you can see the create within the Lord, see the Lord within the creation. So worshippers of Hiranyagarbha see the Lord within the creation. Right? That's the point. So that's a starting point. So those who are used to Gyan, then that works very nicely for them. But the idea is then to get it back to then seeing everything in the Lord rather than the Lord in everything. Does that make sense? You know, you take it back farther. Does that work? Doesn't work. So that's why they're in with the yogis and that. So the worshippers of Hiranyagarbha, then they will, at the end of their lifetime, merge into the body of Brahma. And then when Brahma then, you know, is at the end of his lifetime, then they go with Brahma back to Godhead. Right? They're not like the yogis who then may live on the planet with Brahma. Right? Because they're just seeing on this level. Does that make sense? So they merge into the body of Brahma. Does that make sense? So it's a bona fide method of understanding the Lord and worship, but we can see is that it doesn't have the taste that will be there in worshiping the Lord in the Bhagavan feature. So does that make sense? Yes.
What is the difference if the yogi is meditating on the Lord on his heart and meditating in Sushumna form?
Because the Lord in the heart, then he is a transcendental form. While the universal form is a material form.
So it's more advanced, meditating on the Lord.
Yes, on the meditating on the Lord. That's why the yogis, their position is basically a touch higher.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if there's a yogi, so the point is that they see the Lord there. The main point is they see the Lord there, but what's their relationship with that Lord?
Yes.
Right? So if they see in devotion, then they're higher. They don't see in devotion, then they're lower. Right? So does that make sense? So on the one, then you'd say that the one is higher. But then on the other sense, you can say they're lower. Just like the impersonalists are in a lower stage than the yogis, which meditate on Paramatma. But if the yogi, having come to the point of meditation on the Supreme, then wants to merge into the Supreme, they're actually in a lower position.
Yes.
Because the others don't know about the form of the Lord, and they do, and they're giving that up for the impersonal.
Yes.
So that's a lower stage.
Yes.
It's more unfortunate, yes.
Universal form, you assist in all of the Brahman teaching?
Yes. Because it's pervading, because these are general concepts. You know, what is Venus? It's a general concept. Then there happens to be a particular person who manages it. But still, it's a general concept, generic concept.
But there is form.
Yeah, but doesn't see, Brahman doesn't mean that there isn't form in everything. Because we're looking around us, everything here is Brahman. Right? Our body's Brahman, it's got a form. Right? That it functions on that platform, it's generic. It's just earth, water, fire, air, ether. That according to the modes takes on a particular shape. Does that make sense? Right? Because we're used to the idea, we've been polluted by the concept that Brahman means formless. No, it can have form, but it's generic.
Yes.
That's the whole thing.
Yes.
So form, action, all these things come out of that, right?
Yes.
It's based on that. That's why then the universal form has the two aspects of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kirudakshaya. Because the particular duties and that and the function, the dharma of it in connection to what we're going to do with it, that's Paramatma.
Yes.
But itself, just how it functions and the mechanics of it, that it exists and these potencies are working, that's Brahman.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That a yajna, how it works and all that, that's Brahman.
Yes.
That a particular Brahman, you know, then it's his duty to perform that yajna, that's Paramatma.
Yes.
So they're both seeing the Lord in it.
Yes.
You know, them saying, but you're adding to it, are you supposed to be involved or not?
Yes. No, as a Mayavadi cannot meditate in the Shishu Maharaj home.
No, that's why it's a beginning place for them.
Yes.
For them, then it's a way, because they don't understand form, they can see that impersonal aspect and then put a form to it.
Yes.
Like that. But then there are those yogis who then, that's how they worship the Lord.
Yes.
You know, is, in other words, they're basically jnanis, and so they appreciate that kind of meditation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. This can stimulate the mind.
Yes. Okay. Morning, noon, and evening, one should silently observe the form of the Lord as the Shushumara Chakra and worship Him with this mantra. O Lord, who has assumed the form of time, O resting place of all the planets moving in different orbits, O Master of all demigods, O Supreme Person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto You and meditate upon You. The body of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, which forms the Shushumara Chakra, is the resting place of all the demigods and all the stars and planets. One who chants this mantra to worship that Supreme Person three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, will surely be free from all sinful reactions. If one simply offers his obeisances to this form or remembers this form three times a day, all his recent sinful activities will be destroyed. 6-9. In his purport to verse 9, Srila Prabhupada comments, summarizing the entire description of the planetary systems of the universe, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one who is able to meditate upon this arrangement as the Virat Roop or Vishwarup, the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worship Him three times a day by meditation will always be free from all sinful reactions. Yes.
So for us it's basically Gayatri.
Yes, I mean, you have that aspect, you know, Bhur Bhuvah Svah, like this. You have these aspects. But we'll generally take it farther forward.
Yeah.
So this is that, so someone who does this, then they'll be freed from all sinful reactions. So it has a benefit. But even more as if you can meditate upon the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But in any case, that's the times, and you can understand how the Lord is there. How, because like we said, Om means... A-U and M is the Lord, His potency, and the Jivas.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything. There's nothing separate from that in the cosmos.
Right.
Just whether it's superior energy or inferior energy, or liberated souls or conditioned souls, the Lord's the same.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the basis of everything. That's why every Vedic mantra starts with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Every Vedic mantra starts with that. So that's the principle you can start with. And then from Om, then you get Bhur Bhuvah Svah.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Then you get how that's applied in Sambandha Abhidhaya and Prayojana. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maharaj, when we say free from all sinful reaction means liberation.
Free from?
All sinful reaction means liberation.
Yes, you could say, because all, then yes, you could. But for us, it just means that then we don't have any obstacles to devotional service.
Yes.
It just means that we're closer to understanding the position, because actual, for us, liberation we call Brahma Bhuta,
mm-hmm.
which means when we're situated in that bud of, attachment to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, the bud of prema.
Yes.
Because otherwise, for the devotee, they're liberated right from the beginning.
Yes.
Like that. But this would be closer. Yeah, it means you're advancing in that. So you'd be situated nicely, because if you're always free, then that means you're situated beyond anartha nivritti.
Yes.
So that can indicate either nishta or bhava.
Yes. Yes.
You know, depending on how far you're taking it. Okay. Right. So in other words, as you become that, then you come to bhajana kriya, further than you come to nishta, further than you come to bhava, like that. So these are useful up to there. In other words, knowledge is useful up to liberation.
Yes.
Once liberation is there, the point of knowledge is to get rid of our attachment to the material world.
Yes.
Then after that, it's not knowledge on that thing, it's a matter of Krishna.
Yes.
Right? And interacting with Krishna. He's a person, so therefore you have that. So it's not knowledge on its own. It's about
yes.
Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah, well, just for example,
let us say, you take two scenarios, mm-hmm. right? Someone is there reading the tabloid. It's full of facts and figures. Do we call this knowledge? No, we call it gossip, right? It's personal, it's about people, it's not knowledge. Now let's say, you know, 100 years later, you're sitting in school, there's a textbook on history, and it has same facts and figures about that person. Now is it called knowledge? Yes, you understand. So even though it's the same facts, what's the point of it? So knowledge is to remove our attachment to the material world and make us aware of Krishna's position, right? So always remember, never forget. But the point is in the spiritual world, that same body of knowledge, it's about the person and how to relate and interact with the person. So it's about how to please them and everything, rather than just its, you know, their position. So it's about Ananda, not about Sat.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So then Sat and Chit get engaged for the purpose of generating Ananda. Mm. Right? So that same world here, that same knowledge here, removes our mistaken identity. Mm. Right? But in the spiritual world, it cultivates our love for Krishna.
Yes.
Mm. So that part of it, that part on Brahman, that part's finished. That part's gone. Yes.
So the level of bhava, the vijnanamaya turns into anandamaya.
Yes, we move up to there. Because the vijnanamaya is just a platform that you function from. Uh-huh. You don't function lower than that. That you're always on the spiritual platform. Uh-huh. But you're always performing dharma to get results that will be engaged in Krishna's senses. So we see is that it works, but it's based on this end. While here it's based on this end. I want sense gratification. I'm not getting it. We'll work together to get sense gratification. Well, even better is if we structure it to get sense gratification. And the sense gratification doesn't work, but I still want to be happy, so liberation. On the other way, then it's about Krishna, and he's transcendental. Therefore, you're situated transcendentally, so you perform your duties to get results to engage in Krishna's service. So that's the descending process. So karma and jnana is an ascending process. Well, bhakti is a descendant.
So even for materialists, the principle of organized religion is a good principle because then they can achieve the results better.
Yes, of course. It means as you move up in levels of consciousness, it is better. But it doesn't become human until they get to dharma. Like that. So at least on the minimum, you would count theistic morality in there. Mm-hmm. But generally, we see is its purpose is economic development. Yeah. So that's why it's generally means when we look at it, it's categorized there. Mm-hmm. And only Varnashram is technically part of Manamoy. But in general theory, we would say any organized religion that accepts the supremacy of the Lord, mm-hmm. then would be in that platform of Manamoy. Though not very scientific. Like that.
So now, by studying this chapter, especially the 3-4 chapter, it means we can appreciate more the intelligence of Krishna.
Yes,
like
intelligence of Krishna and just how he relates with the different devotees and how they're all individual and how he reciprocates with that individuality. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of merging and losing the individuality. Yes. It's about engaging that individuality in Krishna's service.
And we can also see the extreme position of a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj.
Yes, yes. But still it's based on the affection of the Lord. It's not that he did something and so if we do that and you know, then we'll get the same thing. No, it's about the devotion.
But we can do devotion.
Yes, we can do the devotion. But, you know, we are an individual. Yes. We'll have our own position. We don't need a whole bunch of Dhruva Maharajas sitting there and arguing over who's in control. Yes. Right? Yes. You know, one's enough. So like that. Then worried about devotion because then there's hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis, so we can assist there.
Yes.
There's plenty of space. So?
Yes.
That's how we should go through chapters,
this is
right?
Moving.
This is the feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Smooth sailing.
Yeah. Chapter 24. Oh, we only have 24, 25, 26 is the last one, so we have three chapters. Okay, the subterranean heavenly planets. Okay, everybody's been wondering about this, so now, okay, here we go. Pratigya. In these seven planetary systems, which are also known as the subterranean heavens, Bilaswarg, they are very beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, because the demons have a very high standard of sensual pleasure, wealth, and influence. Right? You know, it's just like you have, you know, you have people that they're wealthy and they have a big house. Then you have other people that are so wealthy, they keep, you know, one of those, you know, multi-million dollar sports cars, you know, in their living room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just that there's those that just have more of a standard of sense gratification. There's those who have the standard ones, that's the demigods. But in these lower heavenly planets, it's just they really, really overdo it, you know. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, like gold leaf on their chapatis or something. You know, it's just,
so they like Nouveau
Riche? It appears so. It's kind of, because what? Why is Nouveau Riche technically Nouveau Riche? It's not so much that they've means we called it new rich, but it's not that they just have the money, it's the mentality. So in other words, if someone had a very proper mentality and he just became rich, everybody would deal with him properly. But it's because he just became rich and he's proud of it,
yes.
That's the reason that they deal with him at a lower level, even though they may be richer than him. Like that. So yes, it would be, you could say that's a good example. It's like Nouveau Riche, is that they got the money and they really want to show it. You know, they got the little gold stars in their teeth and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's like other people have a little, you know, a little locket may have, you know, pictures in it, or a little thing with a very small thing with their initial, but these guys have big, huge, monster, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the mentality's there. We can relate.
Ghetto suave.
Huh?
Ghetto suave.
Ghetto suave, yeah. Bila suave.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Bila swarg. Bila suave.
Yeah.
Okay. The particular this chapter is taken from verse 8 spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami. Right, so it means this whole point is there. Is that what makes these planets what they are is that the demons, they've been pious. In other words, why would they get a higher standard? Because they've actually done the work.
Yes.
But they only get the material results. They get no Krishna consciousness. Well, the devatas, they get Krishna consciousness. Right? So within devotees, they're neophytes, so we will point out the weakness in their attraction and attachment to the mundane aspects. But they accept the Supreme Lord and his supremacy and his lordship over it. And they see it in relation to him. You know, except for times when they forget. But basically, that's the point. Demigod, if there's something comes up, they will remember. Right? While the demons, something goes wrong, then they'll just make a new plan. Yes?
So can we say that these planets, they reach when they follow here, all the systems properly, but with the desire to get material benefits. And that's what usually said, that they will go to heaven.
Yeah, but it doesn't say which heaven.
No.
They may go to the what is it? We have Bila Swarg, Deva Swarg, and what? Divya Swarg, and?
No, that's Boma.
Boma, Bila, and Divya. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So, but the point is they're all Swarg. So you'll go wherever. So if your mentality is more devotional, right, then you'll go earth and above. And if it's non-devotional, then it'll be the seven below the earth. Because Bhumandal is the seventh of the talas. Right? And so these are all the seven below, then they're all heavenly. Okay. This chapter describes the planet Rahu, which is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles below the sun.
Right? It's 100,000 yojanas above the earth,
yeah.
So it's 10,000 below that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's why it's even doubtful they even got to Rahu.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knows what they bumped into, okay? Whether they even bumped into anything.
Yeah.
Australia, Arizona, you know, there's all kinds of ideas what maybe they like that. Okay. And it also describes Atala and the other lower planetary systems. Rahu is situated below the sun and moon. It is between these two planets. And the earth. Oh, it is between these two planets and the earth. When Rahu conceals the sun and moon, eclipses occur, either total or partial, depending upon whether Rahu moves in a straight or curving way. I guess if you do this regular, then you like to, you know, mix it up. Yeah, yeah. On the eclipses, whether they're full or partial, you know, so whether you're moving in a straight way or in a curved way, or, yeah, like that, yeah. Below Rahu, by another 1 million yojanas, are the planets of the Siddhas, Charanas, and Vidyadharas. And below these are planets such as Yakshaloka. Yakshaloka and Rakshasaloka. Below these planets is the Earth. And 70,000 yojanas below the Earth are the lower planetary systems, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Atala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. Demons and Rakshasas live in these lower planetary systems with their wives and children, always engaged in sense gratification and not fearing their next births. The sunshine does not reach these planets, but they are illuminated by jewels fixed upon the hoods of snakes. Because of these shining gems, there is practically no darkness. Those living in these planets do not become old or diseased, and they are not afraid of death from any cause but the time factor, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, because they won't die from anything because of their piety. They're not worried about that. And if they go up and fight with the demigods, then yes, there's a problem. If they just stay and do their regular things, that they won't. They have no fear of death from anything. But time factor comes in the form of Sudarshan Chakra, then they get worried. Because as soon as Sunashad comes, then they know somebody's dying. So then they'll probably first think it's be worried about themselves. And then when it passes overhead, then a sigh of relief. And then, you know, keep your ears open for who it did catch. Right?
And then go back to business as usual.
Yes, yes.
Okay. There is only birth and death. No old age,
no disease. No. Yeah. And the birth also is you're born and then immediately grow up. You know, just like Gatodgach, when he was born, then within a few hours he's full grown and all that, yes. And takes his permission from his mom to leave, right? Because he's a big boy now, right? So going on. So, yes.
When they die, they go back down to Earth?
Yes. Unless they have some karma left that would put them on another heavenly situation. Yeah, that's why there's the two. You have the divine and demoniac. That's why the Gita deals with it. Because here we'll see both. If you're on the lower planets, you only see demoniac. If you're on the heavenly planets, you only see divine. Here you see both.
Yes.
So that's why we get both.
Yes. Yes.
That's why they freak out so much about Palak, because he was the only member of the second.
Yeah, it's strange, you know. So that's you want one of those in your family, you know. So everybody else is one way and he's different, you know. Like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he just doesn't eat hummus, you know. It's like, what's wrong with this guy? Yeah. In the planet Atala, the yawning of a demon has produced three kinds of women, called Svarini, independent, Kamini, lusty, and Pumshchali, very easily subdued by men. Below Atala, is the planet Vitala, wherein Lord Shiva and his wife Gauri reside. Because of their presence, a kind of gold is produced called Hataka. Below Vitala is the planet Sutala, the abode of Bali Maharaj, the most fortunate king. Bali Maharaj is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, because of his intense devotional service. The Lord went to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj and begged him for 3 paces of land, And on this plea, the Lord took from him all his possessions. Right? So here we see, as they're doing yajnas, they're doing all the pious things recommended in the Vedas, just that it's not for any reason to serve the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. That's all. When Bali Maharaj agreed to this...
Do we know who they worship?
No, they worship. It means they use all the mantras, the demigods, Vishnu, and all that. Yeah. But it's just they're not doing. They're only doing it because that's the way it works.
They don't really like the guy.
No, yeah. But it's just that's what you do. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just like let's say at the radio station. What does the guy put on the what track does he put on? You know, he puts on whatever's favorite, whatever's on the, you know, is topping on the list. He puts he may like it, he may not like it. Yeah, but the point is, you know, he says, and now, you know, like this. So he has to do that. That's what he does. So that's what they do. You have to follow the rules. You have to do that. They're pious enough to understand that. They do it, but they're not, they don't care about the demigods. They don't care about the Supreme Lord. They just care about the benefit. You know, it's just like you have a paper. You need to get it signed by some officer. Do you care about the officer? No, you just care that he signs it. So that's why you're sitting there, you're patient, you're tolerant, it's sweaty, it's hot, but then you get it signed, and then you walk out, and then you're not going to go back there again, right? You know. So it's the same position. They're just being practical, Prabhu. That's all. They're like the perfection of just being practical.
If you really like to be practical, that's how you can.
Yeah. You know, but devotees is that they consider more. They consider the devotees, the Lord, Lord's satisfaction, the devotee's satisfaction, so like that.
Yes.
So you might follow all Varnashram Dharma.
Yes, they follow all Varnashram Dharma. That's
only the earth.
Only at this position in the earth, during this time, you have an option to not follow. I'm sure they may have tribals all throughout all these different places that kind of quasi follow it. But even the tribals, the Vedic, they're how you say, you know, they appreciate, though they may not do. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Kinneras, then they're mentioning that we're not that sophisticated. We're forest people. But it's not that those prayers are offered in Sanskrit. You know. So that's the thing, is they are there. They are involved. So the whole universe follows Varnashram in the Vedic culture, except this one ninth of a ninth of a ninth. You know, in Kali Yuga. And even then, there are still people who are following and getting great results. You know, so this whole idea is that, oh, no one follows, it doesn't work. And what do you mean? It always works. Even the demons are smart enough to follow it. You know? You know, it's just like if I said, put the stuff in the blender, put the lid on the blender, you know, plug it in, and then push the button.
But I'm not the blender.
Yeah, but I'm not the blender, so I don't have to put the lid on. I don't have to plug it in. I don't have to push the button. What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with really, really, you know, foolishness. Mm-hmm. Even though IQ may be, you know, right through the roof, but the point is we're not dealing with any brains here. We're not dealing with any realistic, you know, human intelligence. You know, but that's our background, our conditioning, so someone may not be thinking this. They just, by habit, do it. So that, you know, we don't worry about. That's why Westerners don't mind working with Westerners, because, you know, you've grown up in that, so it doesn't bother you. Just like Prahlad Maharaj can, you know, preach to the demons because he grew up with the demons, so it's no big deal. You know, like that. So does that make sense? But if you look at it logically, it's stupid. What has Kali Yuga got to do with it? You know, the top goes on the blender. You don't put it on, it goes all over the ceiling. You like it on the ceiling? Hey, great. You know? If you really want to do something good, put a canvas on the ceiling, then turn it on. Right? You know, and then you might be able to get some money out of it. You know, just vary what vegetables and fruits you put in there and stuff like that, so you get different textures, colors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then you can paint
the walls.
Huh?
Yes, that you can paint the walls. You know, just aim your blender in different directions. Yeah, probably better to get the money and paint your walls. Okay. When Bali Maharaj agreed to all this, the Lord was very pleased, and therefore the Lord serves as his doorkeeper. The description of Bali Maharaj appears in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so we'll end here. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.